Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, June 1st. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. Wyomingites have 12 candidates to choose from to represent the state in the U.S. House. That includes 10 Republicans and 2 Democrats, all vying for the lone House seat. The U.S. Senate race is also crowded with 5 Republicans and 2 Democrats running. Other races that are heating up are for the governorship, 4 Republicans will run against 1 Democrat, and the Secretary of State, that's the state's top election official, with 5 Republicans and 1 Democrat. In the state legislature, newcomers are challenging some members of the more conservative Freedom Caucus, which will try to hold on to its majority in the state house. Plus, several Freedom Caucus representatives are trying to switch to the Senate. Wyoming's primary election is on August 18th. The deadline to pick or change your party was in mid-May. Across the state, the biggest change was people moving to the Republican Party. Wyoming Public Radio's Kala Shosh reports.
In Laramie County, 47% of voters who changed their affiliation switched from Democratic to Republican. In Sheridan County, 109 voters changed their affiliation to Republican. But the party changes can make it hard to find election judges. Laramie County Clerk Deborah Lee says election judges are needed for more than one political party.
When we have a preponderance of one party, it makes it difficult to, you know, balance out that population with a third party person or a Democrat in this case.
The primary elections are August 18th. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Kala Shosh.
A proposed workforce housing development in Cheyenne goes before Laramie County Commissioners this week. Iron Guard Workforce Housing wants to build up to 800 modular housing units that could house up to 5,600 people. Wyoming News Now's Akili Bonner reports from a recent County Planning Commission hearing.
A staff review on a Class C conditional use permit for this workforce housing, or otherwise known as a man camp, went through this group, where then they voted on recommending the permit to the county commissioners for further discussion. This, however, did not come without a public hearing session, in which the majority who spoke to the planning commission were against. But on the other hand, some stepped up to voice their support. Marcy Kindred with AFL-CIO explains that while they support economic development, it still shouldn't happen at, quote, just any cost.
Our workers have been the one traveling to other states where the jobs are, spending weeks away from family. These projects have made it possible for our local hires to stay here, to coach Little League, to not miss out on recitals, to sleep in their own beds at night.
The Planning Commission unanimously voted to recommend the conditional use permit for the workforce housing to the county commissioners, who are now tasked with coming up with their own vote.
Laramie County Commissioners will hold a public hearing about the Iron Guard housing project tomorrow. That was Wyoming News Now's Akili Bonner reporting. The founder of Jackson Hole Community Radio will not be paid back money he said he loaned this station to support its startup and operational expenses. Wyoming Public Radio's Nikki Ouellette reports that's a result of a ruling by the Wyoming Supreme Court.
James Talishit founded Jackson Hole Community Radio in 1995. In the 2000s, he gave the station more than $200,000, money he says was a loan. Inga Parsons is his lawyer.
Either it's a contribution or it's a loan. And if you look at all of their tax filings, they treated it as a loan signed by their board.
Despite the tax documents, all sides agree there was no signed loan agreement. Emily Cohen is the station's executive director.
I think there's no doubt that he put a lot of himself and his money into this station. Unfortunately, the law views a donation and a loan, they're different, and you have to document.
Talishit's lawyer says the station should give him a contribution letter so that he can write it off on his own taxes. For Wyoming Public Radio News, I'm Nikki Ouellette.
Storms are dumping more rain in shorter bursts across the West than in years past, but longer stretches between them may leave the land drier over time. Researchers say a shift in climate raises concerns about long-term drought and wildfire risk. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radel has more.
Scientists say it's not just how much rain falls, it's how it arrives. A new analysis found heavier downpours often leave more water sitting on the surface, where it's more likely to evaporate instead of soaking into soils or groundwater. Corey Lesk is a climate scientist at the University of Quebec in Montreal and co-author of the study.
You're asking the land to drink from a fire hose. When water just arrives at the land in really intense bursts, it can only absorb so much. There are limits on that. You know, soils are like a sponge and they're only so spongy.
Researchers say the findings suggest the West could face a difficult balancing act in the years ahead, managing flood risk from stronger storms while also preparing for longer and potentially more severe droughts. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on June 1, 1889, the premier edition of the Bighorn Rustler newspaper was published in Bonanza, an oil camp southwest of Hyattville. It was edited by Joe DeBarth. On June 1, 1933, the first Wyoming Highway Patrol officer assumed his duties. On June 1, 1973, Governor Stanley Hathaway formally commended George Ostrom for, quote, the first known use of the bucking horse as an insignia, which Ostrom created in 1918. It's thought to be one of the origins of the bucking horse used by the state today. On June 5, 1889, the first Wyoming appointee was named to West Point Academy. On June 6, 1948, President Harry Truman delivered a speech from the porch of the governor's mansion in Cheyenne. The Gillette News Record reported on June 2, 1988, that the town's 19- and 20-year-old bar patrons would be allowed to drink alcohol until 2 a.m. on July 1st. The state had finally come in line with the federal drinking age of 21, which took effect on July 1st. However, because it was simply too complicated to enforce in the early hours, the young drinkers were given a bit of leeway. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. Who was the last Wyomingite to receive the Congressional Medal of Honor, and when was it awarded? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll give a shout-out to the first person with the right answer. As for Friday's trivia question, where is Atlantic City and how many people live there? The former gold mining town is situated at an elevation of 7,600 feet in the foothills of the Wind Rivers in southwest Fremont County. And according to the most recent count, in 2024, the population is made up of 24 residents. It will likely be an easy gig for census takers in 2030, eh? Congratulations to Robbie Green the First for the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Palkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day and join me again tomorrow.